Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
The process of growth in the Christian life is an organic process. It's to be produced by the Holy Spirit. If you're longing for fruit flowing from your life, join us next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel, as we discover that fruit grows where the stream flows. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. It's a joy to come to you every Monday through Friday, and wherever this program or podcast finds you, we sure hope that you have come with an open heart, that you're ready to examine the Word of God with us and grow in His grace. Today, we're going to listen to a series entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. We're going to study the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, the process of growth in the Christian life that's organic. It comes from within. It comes from a process of yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to produce this fruit within you. If you haven't trusted Christ, then friend, we hope that because of today's program, you'll come to faith in Him and allow His Holy Spirit to begin that work in you. Don't forget, we would love to have you visit with us online and find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find out about this current series. You can subscribe to the podcast for Daily in the Word and take this program with you and listen to it at your convenience on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to the daily devotional email, Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box will come a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, along with an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a Proverbs scripture reading that will take you through the Word of God in 1 year. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Today we're again in Galatians chapter 5 as we study gentleness grows where the stream flows. Here's Paul Chapel.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and here's the next word. It is the word gentleness. Let's say it together. Gentleness. Now, what do you think of when you hear the word gentleness? How many of you think of the word dentist? I don't put those two together. When I think of a dentist, I think of barbarians, pain, infliction of pain. When I hear the word gentleness, I do not immediately equate it with a word like dentist. I might equate it with a word like mom. Moms had a way of being gentle and encouraging when things weren't going just right. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he was gentle as a nursing mother with the new Christians. He was a gentle minister as well as being a strong preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Webster defines gentleness as being generous or kind. Benjamin Franklin often tried to encourage his children to be gentle and kind. He once said, "I will speak ill of no man, not even in the matter of truth, but rather excuse the faults I hear, and upon proper occasions speak all the good I know of everybody." That was Benjamin Franklin's desire, to be gentle, to be a gentle man. Now, we don't see much in the way of gentleness in America today. This is sort of a dog-eat-dog kind of a society. People are constantly looking for a way to take advantage of the next person. We saw this past week in the National League Championships between the Florida Marlins and the Chicago Cubs, an amazing situation. Here was a fan by the name of Steve Berkman just a guy out there going crazy in the bleachers with everybody else. All of a sudden, here comes a baseball his way. And this man, just with his natural instinct, thinks something like this: I'm going to get this souvenir. And he reaches out for the baseball, and as the baseball's coming his way, the fielder, Moises Alou, is also reaching up towards the baseball, and somehow, I believe inadvertently, this Steve Berkman caused the fielder to be unable to catch the ball as it came his way. And many of you know the story. The Cubs lost the game, and subsequently, they lost the entire series. And, of course, Brother Furstow is wearing black today to show his mournful spirit about the whole situation. But now think about this for a moment. This guy, Steve Berkman, I don't think for a moment that he thought when he was reaching out for the ball, I'm going to ruin the Cubs' season right now. I don't think he thought that. I don't think he thought, I'm going to show Moises Alou a little bit about baseball. I think all the guy was doing was maybe trying to get a souvenir, but in the process, some problems came. Now, because of his inadvertent action, Steve Berkman has been the recipient of several death threats. Literally, the Chicago police are having to stay outside of his house, follow him to work, stay with him at work. People want to do this man bodily harm because of a little baseball. There will be an invitation at the end of this message. I told Brother Furstow, a mean letter maybe, but a death threat. Come on, Brother Furstow. But people have been angry at this man. It's amazing to think about the threats that he has received simply because of what he did by accident. But that's a picture of society today. People are angry. People are going to get even. People are vindictive. People are anything but gentle. Isn't it amazing to think about the needs in our society and in our own lives today? You see, gentleness, or some ways we could say it, kindness, gentleness is the fruit that will make or break your Christian testimony. It is the fruit that will make or break our testimony. And gentleness is hard to find because Romans chapter 3 says that all of us have sinned. All of us have a sinful nature. It's not our norm to be gentle. It's not our norm to be kind. Our normal response is to go out and get even. Well, I want to speak to you this morning about this word, gentleness. And I want you to see with me this morning, in the first place, the example of gentleness. When you think about someone who is an example in gentleness, there was someone far greater than mom, far greater than the best illustration you could ever conceive, and that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you for a moment about a wonderful, gentle, loving, and kind Savior. And I want you to think about Jesus with me. I want you to think for a moment about the character of Jesus Christ. Think about His character. And turn, if you would, in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here the Apostle Peter is reminding us about how gentle and loving Jesus was. And he says in these verses, "For even hereunto," 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth." How many of you are thankful that Jesus never sinned? That's why He was the perfect atonement for our sin. But look at verse 23. "Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." When Jesus was reviled, He reviled not again. Last week at our missionary conference, one of the missionaries was from Jerusalem, and he showed us a picture of the hill called Golgotha, the hill of the skull. And I pictured in my mind what it must have been like for Jesus carrying the cross up that hill. The Bible says He fell beneath the weight of the load, and another man helped Him carry the cross the rest of the way. All the way up the hill of the skull, Jesus was spat upon. People ridiculed Him. People made fun of Him. even after the nails were driven into his hands and his feet, even after Jesus was suspended up between heaven and earth. The Bible tells us that men cursed at him and reviled him. One said, "If you're the Son of God, then take yourself down from this cross." No one could imagine the hurtful things that were said to Jesus as he died for my sin and for your sin. Yet when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When people said unkind things, he did not revert back to their unkind ways. The Bible says that he is our perfect example and that we are to follow in his steps. The character of Jesus is an impeccable, perfect character that all of us can follow because he was a gentle and a wonderful Savior. He could have called 10,000 angels to take him away, and he could have snuffed the lives of those who ridiculed him. But in his gentle, loving kindness, he reviled not again. The character of Jesus. Oh, that each of us today could be a little more like him. That each of us, as we are filled with the Spirit of God, could bear this fruit of gentleness. Notice not only the character of Jesus this morning, but notice the compassion of Jesus. The compassion of Jesus. You see, in his kindness, he offered salvation even to those who were crucifying him. Think of that. Even as he died on the cross, he had you and he had me on his mind. There's no one in this world today that Jesus does not want to see saved. You say, what about the Islamic man who hates Jesus Christ, who hates Christians? Jesus loves even him. What about the man or the woman today who denies him and who despises him? Jesus loves even them. Titus 3 and verse 4 says, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's by his kindness, it's by his mercy that he came to die for our sin and that he saves us from our sin. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and verse 7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Sometimes people have this view of God that he's a hateful God. Oh, he's a God of truth. He is a God who will bring final judgment to this world. But make no mistake about it, my friend. God is not a God of hate. God is love. And God is a gentle God. He's a long-suffering and a patient God. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. God is a gracious God. God says, I want to save you, even though you don't deserve to be saved. Grace is undeserved favor. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Jesus Christ loved you and he loved me so very much that even when we deserved a Christless hell, even when we deserved eternal separation from him, even then God loved us and he reached down and he set our feet upon a rock and he brought us up out of that miry clay and he gave our life a reason for living. For by grace we are saved. It's not that I deserve to go to heaven. It's not that Paul Chappell is such a good man. It's that Jesus Christ is such a wonderful Savior. It's by grace that you were saved. And it's because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that Jesus was gentle. I'm glad that Jesus was patient. I'm glad that Jesus is such a kind and a wonderful Savior. Romans 2 and verse 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance? My friend, God is being patient with you today, but don't despise that. God is being forbearing with you today. He is being gentle with you today, but don't take that for granted. He is doing this so that you will come to him, so that you will repent of your sin and turn to Jesus as your Savior. Don't take for granted the long suffering of God. If you are a Christian away from God, don't take for granted that he is gentle. He wants you to turn around and come back to him today. Dr. John Getz was preaching here a few years ago. He said on one occasion, he was very bad in school and had broken a rule. He said he came home and he figured the teacher probably had called his parents. He said after a little while, his dad said to him, "John, I want you to meet me out at the barn." Now, if you grew up on a farm and your dad wanted an appointment in the barn, that's not a very good sign. And he said, "I went out to the barn to see my dad. And when I got out to the barn, he was standing there with tears flowing down his face. And he said, 'John, what you did today broke my heart.' He said, 'My dad didn't spank me.' He said, 'I wish he would have. But his gentleness towards me and the fact that I broke his heart truly spoke to me that day. My friend, if you're away from God and he's being gentle towards you, don't continue to break his heart. Turn back to him today." Oh, may I say that the greatest picture of gentleness, the greatest example of gentleness that you will ever know is Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. But notice secondly this morning, the expressions of gentleness. The expressions of gentleness. We are saying this morning that when a man is born again, he is born again by the Spirit of God. When he is born again, the Holy Spirit comes into his life. Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." So when someone has the Holy Spirit in them, there is fruit that will flow through their life. The Spirit of God will allow fruit to grow. And this fruit today is called gentleness. Now, how will that fruit blossom? When the orange tree blossoms, the expression is seen in a beautiful white flower that smells beautifully. When the apricot tree blossoms, the expression is seen in a beautiful pink flower with a wonderful fragrance. But what will be seen in your life? What will be the fragrance of your life when you are filled with the Spirit of God? How will your life bring joy, and how will your life bring a wonderful sweet smell to the place where you work, to the home where you live? I want you to see, first of all, someone who is filled with the Spirit, they will express gentleness through their sensitivity. They will be a very sensitive person. They will be a very tender person. There will be a heart that is sensitive. You see, my friend, no matter how many scriptures you have memorized, no matter how many convictions you possess, if you do not have kindness, it doesn't matter. And there are many today who are proud of their scripture knowledge. They are proud of their convictions in a wrong way. God is not as interested in all of the things you know as he is in the heart you have towards him and towards others. Sometimes we live in a day when people are very insensitive, even in their relationships. I heard of a young lady recently who said, "My parents want me to get married, and they don't care who I marry as long as he doesn't have an earring." How many parents understand that? She said to her friend, "I think men who have pierced ears are better prepared for marriage. They've already experienced pain and they've bought jewelry." Now, I'm not an advocate of men wearing earrings. That's another sermon. But I'll tell you this right now. I don't think it's a very sensitive spirit when we want to inflict pain on those with whom we relate to. I think it should be just the opposite. In fact, notice in Philippians 2:4, it says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." Let's say that together, shall we? Ready to begin. "Look not every man on his own things." I believe as God works in your heart a work of gentleness, there will be a sensitivity. Husbands, when was the last time that you really thought about the burdens of your wife? I mean, on the way home from work, you thought, "I wonder how it was with the kids. I wonder how it was getting things taken care of at home today. I wonder how her health is. I wonder how my children are doing in school." When was the last time that you were just being sensitive towards your husband and thinking of his hard day or his difficulty? Or boys and girls here this morning, when was the last time you really thought about how hard your dad works or how much your mom helps? Or when was the last time you thought about it's not easy for them maybe to pay for your school tuition or your books or your clothes? I'm simply saying a spirit-filled Christian has a gentleness that is seen with a sensitive, sensitive heart. When was the last time you wrote your Sunday school teacher a thank you note? Say, "Well, they call me every time they miss me." Sometimes they pester me. They're writing me. They're calling me. Hey, when was the last time you thought about them and said, dear Mr. Teacher, thanks for caring so much. Thanks for writing me a letter. Thanks for being there when I needed you. I'm saying that when the Spirit of God is working in your heart, you're not just thinking about yourself. You're thinking about other people. The Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. And our desire as Spirit-filled Christians is to be sensitive one towards another. One man said to his friend, very few things upset my wife. It makes me feel rather special to know that I am one of them. Now, this guy's missing the point. Our desire is not to irritate one another. It is to be sensitive to one another, to think about one another, not only through sensitivity, but secondly, through sympathy. I believe we will express gentleness by being sympathetic one towards another. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Now, let me help you with something this morning that perhaps you already know. But everybody here today has a burden. Everybody. Everybody here this morning is bearing something. I think this morning of people who sang last week in our choir each night, some whose body is filled with cancer, some whose marriage is uncertain, various different types of burdens that are beyond my comprehension. And I think this morning of this fact that the people seated in the row where you are seated right now have something that's heavy on their heart today. Everybody in this world today has a burden, and the commonality of the human race besides sin is the burden that sin brings in the form of physical pain and family trial and difficulty. And when you are filled with the Spirit and bearing the fruit of gentleness, then you will show sympathy for those going through that difficult time. Not only sensitivity, not only sympathy, but thirdly, I believe you'll express your gentleness through straightforwardness. Now, this is a little different thought, but stay with me and put your thinking cap on. You see, gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is not weakness. Sometimes when you love someone, you're going to have to be straightforward with them. Here's a verse for you, Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Let's say it together. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. There will come a time in your marriage when you must care enough to confront someone that you love. There will come a time in raising your children when you must care enough to confront someone that you love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. No one likes to hear the truth at times when they're erring in their way, but that wound is necessary. Just like the wound that is caused to take the cancer out, that wound may hurt for a moment, but it is needful to get the cancer out. And if you think being gentle means to be passive while your children come home at 2 and 3 in the morning from partying, while your spouse is going away that is against the Word of God, if you think that is gentleness, then you misunderstand gentleness.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and teaching a series on today's edition of Daily in the Word entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and today's broadcast has prompted you to consider that decision, we would invite you right now in the privacy of your own heart to make a simple faith decision to believe and receive, to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior once and for all. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you could bow your head and heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you more about that and help you understand what it means to make that wonderful decision. I hope you'll call us. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Don't forget, we invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Online, you can see recent broadcasts and listen to the broadcast. You can also find out more about subscribing to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge to your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, or some other device, and take it with you and listen to it at your leisure on your own time. You can also refer this program to a friend. Perhaps you know somebody that lives in an area where this program is not aired. Anybody can go to dailyintheword.org and subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find lots of other links there about Dr. Chappell and his ministry. The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional can come every day free of charge to your email inbox and remind you to walk with God and get through His Word in a year. You'll find links to the online bookstore and Pastor Chappell's newest book entitled Stewarding Life. This beautiful hardback book will help you understand how to take the one lifetime that you've been given with limited resources and adjust them and live them out according to eternal priorities. Once again, the new book, Stewarding Life by Dr. Paul Chappell. You'll find all of this and more at dailyintheword.org. Also, if we can help you, please call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.